on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. It's Monday, and of course, on most Monday mornings, we hear from our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick. But this week, we'll be checking in with Judy on Wednesday instead. She'll have her annual preview of the upcoming theater season. That's Wednesday morning here on Maryland Morning. But now, a conversation about the benefits of fermented food. Fermenting is a tradition that goes back thousands of years. From ale to dairy products to fruits and meat, many of the foods that we eat today are rooted in a tradition of fermentation. Things like yogurt or cheese, vinegar or sauerkraut, just to name a few. My guest today has spent more than two decades learning the art of fermentation and writing about and talking about its health benefits. Sander Katz is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Art of Fermentation. He'll be giving a workshop tonight at the Whitelock Community Farm in Reservoir Hill. That's one of the many neighborhood farms throughout Baltimore. And he joins me this morning on the phone. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
Glad to have you. So what does it mean exactly to ferment food?
Well, broadly speaking, fermentation is the transformative action of microorganisms. And, even before specifically knowing about microorganisms, you know, people learned a lot about how to work with them so that rather than decomposing food, they could make food more stable, make food more nutritious, or make food more delicious.
And to ferment it then chemically does exactly what to the food? Is it a matter of sort of injecting a little bad stuff to make it ultimately better?
Well, no. It's not like that at all. You're not injecting in any kind of bad stuff. But, you know, the microorganisms, which are part of all of the plants and all of the animals that make up our food, but the microorganisms that are part of it, begin to digest nutrients. So, you know, one of the great things about fermented foods is that the nutrients are pre-digested. And so, many compounds become available to us as a result of the food being fermented that wouldn't otherwise be available to us without the fermentation.
Okay, so are there other benefits as well? I mean, that's an obvious one, but in terms of health, benefits, what else can you talk about with fermented food?
Sure. There are so many health benefits. I mean, certainly, nutrients and very notably minerals become more bioavailable as a result of the fermentation, but then the fermentation generates additional compounds, including in the case of sauerkraut and other fermented vegetables, these compounds called isothiocyanates that are regarded as anti-carcinogenic. But really what I would consider to be the most profound nutritional benefit would be the bacteria themselves, because, contrary to the war on bacteria and the idea that, bacteria are our enemies, it turns out that we need bacteria in order to function effectively. But we have all this chemical exposure to compounds that are designed to kill bacteria. So when we eat bacterially rich foods, foods with live cultures in them, fermented foods that have not been heated or cooked after their fermentation, we're actually ingesting communities of bacteria. So we're building biodiversity, which can help to improve digestion, improve overall immune function, and some new evidence is actually suggesting that it can even improve mental health.
Interesting. So it is kind of counterfactual. I mean, we think about, we hear about antibiotics, for example, that have become, bacteria resistant, or bacteria have become resistant to certain antibiotics. But what you're suggesting here is that perhaps we're limiting too many bacteria from our systems that could be of benefit.
Well, sure. I mean, there's antibiotic drugs, there's antibacterial cleansing products that have become ubiquitous. There's the chlorine in municipal water systems. I mean, we just all have contact frequently with chemical compounds that diminish biodiversity of bacteria in our intestine.
On 88.1 WYPR, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is the author and fermentation revivalist, Sander Katz. So what are the ways that folks can ferment food?
Well, I mean, generally, for someone who's interested in a first experience of fermenting, I recommend starting with fermenting vegetables. I mean, the reasons are that, you know, there's no need to go obtain special starter cultures. The bacteria you need are part of all of the vegetables we eat already. You know, you might decide you want to get a beautiful, elegant crock, but a jar that's already sitting in your pantry is adequate, so you don't really need any special equipment. You know, it's really simple. You know, in just a few minutes, I can really transmit all the information that you need. You know, and you can enjoy your results relatively quickly. There's no waiting for months or years. You know, in really a few days or a week, the food has been transformed by the fermentation. And then finally, there's absolutely no case history of illness or food poisoning. This food is as safe as it gets. And, you know, there is no, you know, case history of troubles at all with fermented vegetables. So in terms of people's fear of working with bacteria and that could be dangerous, fermenting vegetables is as safe as it gets. So I generally recommend that as a great starting point. Plus, it's delicious, supportive of good health, probiotic.
Does it last longer than, say, you know, vegetables that are frozen or vegetables that are, you know, preserved in some other way?
Well, no. I mean, it doesn't last longer than vegetables that are frozen or vegetables that are canned. But what it does is it preserves their nutrients much more effectively. So, you know, I mean, fermentation actually enhances nutrients, and the nutrients are in no way degraded by the process of fermentation, you know, unlike most other methods that we have of food preservation. So, you know, it's a strategy for preserving food, you know, from a season of plenty to get you through a season of relative scarcity. But it's not something that you can leave in your pantry for 15 years. You know, it's more dynamic. It's a life process. It requires you know, a certain amount of ongoing engagement.
And I've read that the intersection for you yourself as a writer and a researcher in this field it intersects with your life in a very poignant and direct way. Tell us how you got interested in fermented foods when you had a diagnosis back in the 90s.
Well, sure. I mean, I've been living, you know, since the early 90s with HIV, and I've certainly seen, you know, fermentation as, you know, part of a strategy for, you know, maintaining good health and overall immune function. You know, I mean, my initial interest in fermentation actually stems from, you know, a childhood growing up in New York City loving sour pickles. You know, but at some point when I started dealing with HIV, you know, I started reading about some of the immune stimulating benefits of eating, you know, live bacterial cultures. And I mean, fermented foods are not a cure for HIV. They're not necessarily a cure for cancer. But by helping to improve overall digestion and immune stimulation and overall immune function, you know, it's really part of how I keep myself healthy.
Sander Katz is the author of The Art of Fermentation. He'll be at the Whitelock Community Farm in Reservoir Hill tonight at 5 o'clock leading a workshop about fermentation. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Well, Mr. Katz, thanks so much. I appreciate it, and enjoy the workshop tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for us today on Maryland Morning. On Wednesday, we'll have J. Wynn Russick's season preview of all things theatrical, and I'll speak with the Newbery Medal-winning author Laura Amy Schlitz about her new book. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio,
WYPR, in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Johnny McCone
and Connor Graham.
We have production help from
Scott Seiss.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1814, by the dawn's early light, Francis Scott Key saw that the American flag still waved over Fort McHenry. The poem the 35-year-old lawyer wrote became the lyrics to The Star-Spangled Banner, which was recognized in 1931 as the United States national anthem. We're back on Wednesday. Please join us.